Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Mike K from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we discuss anything and everything Philadelphia Eagles. You can read our content on nj.com/Eagles, bookmark that, and you can subscribe to our exclusive Eagles Insider text service, where we'll break news, give you insider observations, and provide in-depth analysis. Through Eagles Extra, you can send questions and comments directly to us, and we'll respond to your phone. With me today, as always, is my fellow Eagles beat reporter, Chris Franklin. Today we're going to discuss the first week of training camp, roster battles, and the guys who have impressed us so far. Chris, how are you doing today?
Not bad at all, Mike. It's been an interesting first week of training camp. It's good to be back there at the NovaCare Complex and seeing these guys battle for positions and jobs. It's good, man. How are you doing?
I'm well. You know, yesterday, we're recording this Sunday, I was doing some double duty at practice. I went to my kids' soccer practice and then at night had that nice little Eagles evening affair. And, you know, it's been a nice first week of training camp. Pretty uneventful, but pretty devoid of major injuries and drama. Yes, Zach Ertz is in camp. Yes, Devontae Smith suffered a minor leg injury on Saturday, but then stood with his teammates for an hour and a half. So clearly they weren't that concerned about it. Jalen Reagor had failed a physical, but now, by the end of the week, he was taking part in team drills. Brandon Brooks and Isaac Seumalo were sidelined, but they're hamstring injuries, and they don't seem to be threatening missing time during the regular season. So for the most part, it's been, you know, there's been drama, obviously, on the field. But from a pure, hey, how does this affect the regular season? There hasn't been a ton of, you know, earth-shattering issues. So I think that's been kind of reassuring for the Eagles fan base. For us, we haven't had to leave practice and cover a major injury. So everybody wins. But let's get into it. Let's talk about the first week of camp. So Jalen Hurts, in case you guys have been living under a rock, Chris is handling QB report cards throughout training camp daily updates on every single quarterback on the roster. That's Jalen Hurts, Joe Flacco, Nick Mullins. Chris, what have you seen from Jalen Hurts thus far?
I think the main thing that everybody's looking at when it comes to the way he's played has been his accuracy, because everybody keeps pointing to 52% pass completion percentage last year. And so far he's done better. I will say that he's done better than what he showed at times. He still is when he's on the run, rolling out the pocket, everybody knows we can do the legs, and he's able to still throw when he's out there. But I really wanted to see how he does inside the pocket. And one thing that he's done a lot better is he's stepping into his throws while he's in the pocket. And Nick Sirianni yesterday, when we were talking to him, he mentioned the one thing two things he was working with Jalen were keeping two hands on the ball when he steps up in a pocket, and as well as his footwork. And his footwork has gotten a lot better. You see him using that, like getting a lot of power from his throws while he's stepping up. And is helped him become more accurate. Seven or sevens have been a little they've been a little adventure at times where he hasn't looked as accurate in there, but it seems it's something where I don't know if it's 7-on-7 and it's a little bit different, but when it comes to 11-on-11, that's where he's looked like he's had his he's gotten better. And as each day has gone on, he's performing better and better, and you see him trying to work it, get a connection with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. And before Devonta Smith got hurt, he was thrown to him. So overall, I think he's graded out. To me, he's given a grade out of a B so far as a camp. He's done a good job there. He still hasn't proven. He's a young quarterback, and that's to be expected. They're not going to be their final, to quote another thing, they're not going to be in their final form when it comes there. But he's still learning. He's taking in his tutelage from quarterbacks coach Brian Johnson. He's improving overall. I mean, now when it comes to like the 7-on-7s, 11-on-11, what's your opinion on him?
I'm not as rosy. I think he's been fine. I think it's a situation where he's kind of, you know, there's no pads, so the offensive line are at a disadvantage. I mean, typically you see a defense ahead of an offense early in camp just because there's only so many coverages you can have. There's only so many assignments you can have. But, I mean, it's been a mixed bag, really, to me. I'd probably give him like a C+. Maybe every time he has a great throw, there's a terrible throw waiting. But he's had some really great accurate throws downfield. There's no question. I agree. I think his accuracy has improved. I think his confidence has improved in the pocket. I'd like to see him run a little bit less because those kind of scrambles are basically empty reps for him. We know what he can do as a runner. He knows what he can do as a runner. The coaching staff knows what he can do as a runner. I'd like to see him master the pocket or at least throw on the run a little bit more. Granted, there's going to be reps where nothing's available and then you just got to run, but it does seem like he is very quick to run after a read or two. That said, you know, if he's the starting quarterback, I think there should be some confidence in him because he does have a playground-like demeanor to him. He's very confident in his ability to throw deep. He's very confident in his ability to run. It seems like the offense is confident in his ability to do both. So I think that's good. Now, getting into Joe Flacco, I want your take on Flacco. Again, I think you're a little bit rosier than I am. I think Flacco's been kind of meh. You know, for a guy who's a 14-year veteran, a former Super Bowl MVP, a guy they brought in and guaranteed $3.5 million, he's done stuff that I'd expect a second-year guy like like he's been Nate Sudfeld to me. Like I don't maybe he's terrific in the quarterback room, but from a purely on-field standpoint, he's been kind of blah. Nick Mullins got off to a really good start. He's very weird. You brought up like how Jalen struggles on 7-on-7 and then does well on 11-on-11. Nick Mullins has been absolutely atrocious throwing to 1-on-1 coverage. Nope. And throwing against air. It's almost like he needs that second body to be a target, if that makes sense. He's done fine in 7-on-7s. I've been really impressed by him at 11-on-11s for the most part. Granted, he's going up against, like, you know, future insurance salesmen. There's nothing wrong with selling insurance, but if you sell insurance, you're not playing in the NFL. So I do think there's that.
This tackle is brought to you by Geico or something.
Look, I am curious how much a quarterback can save by switching. But like he's facing guys that are probably either going to be in the CFL or the AFL or elsewhere. You know, this is probably their last shot at NFL football. And so you do have to take that into account. This is a guy who started NFL games, has won NFL games, put up a lot of yardage. To me, I think he's subtly outplayed Flacco, not to the point where I think like, oh man, they've got to get rid of Flacco and trade him to the Colts now that Carson Wentz has got a foot injury. We'll talk about that a little bit later on the show. But, you know, I do think that Mullins is going to push Flacco. And I think it's to the point where look, you know what Flacco is, but do you? So I think Flacco might actually get some preseason reps. I was expecting it to be nothing but Nick Mullins for three preseason games. I don't know if that's going to be the case anymore. What's your take on the backup quarterbacks?
Well, right for three of the 4 days, Mullins outperformed Flacco, in my opinion. Just looking at the ways that some of the throws now, it was also weird. It seemed like they were running the ball a lot more with Flacco while he was in there, which was I thought was kind of weird. I guess they want to see what Mullins can do a little bit more. But overall, it was Mullins was pretty accurate early. But the one thing I'm really concerned about, and it happened a lot in 7-on-7, and he did it a little bit in the 11-on-11s too. He pats the ball right before he throws it. And to me, when you do something like that, you're giving the defense, those linebackers and defensive backs, an extra second, like a tell going, okay, if he's going to pat the ball's coming out right now. You can't do that. Now, I know quarterbacks gather the ball a little bit right before they throw it. It's because you just want to make sure you go through your regular throwing motion. But the deliberately tab the ball right before you throw it. A little concerned with that, but overall, I mean, Mullins is a pretty mobile guy. He's more mobile than Flacco. I thought he did a good job. I mean, it seems like he's developing him and Matt Walker and him and Tyree Jackson and those guys. They were starting to form a little bit of a connection a little bit. He's done all right. When it comes to Flacco, I don't know what it is. Yesterday was his best day, I think. Of the four practices, yesterday was his best day. A lot of the short check downs, a lot of the throws to the running backs and tight ends over the middle, and that's what he was excelling at. I mean, there was a point where I think 7-on-7, he didn't miss a completion. He didn't miss a throw. He was on in that aspect. But when it came time to some of the teams early on in training camp so far, it's been meh. And you mentioned it. I mean, he's got the experience. He's seen a lot of coverages, so you know he's going to be the veteran to help the younger guys. But Mullins is going to make it interesting, I think, for QB2. And if it truly is a competition, if they're competing for every spot, even though we really know Hurts is going to be QB1, if there really is competition at every spot, Mullins might seriously make it interesting and push Flacco at this point.
Yeah, I think when you – sorry about that pause there. I think the backup quarterback competition is a little bit more interesting than I thought it would be. But let's move on to a position that I think has actually really thrived. Look, you can't tackle to the ground in these practices, but every day it seems like Miles Sanders pulls off an incredibly impressive long run, even if there were pads on. Boston Scott has been terrific as far as being able to feel out screen passes and bob and weave through traffic. By the way, I had him on the roster bubble. I took kind of a pessimistic view. I think there's no doubt Boston Scott makes this team barring injury. He's been working with the first team offense pretty regularly. I think the Eagles keep four running backs, but they might keep five if they keep paying attention to the way Jason Huntley's been running. Huntley's kind of struggled as a passer, but man, that guy has some jets. Saturday, he turned a corner and went up the field 15 yards. You thought he was running at full speed. Nah, he just like hit the zoom button and just erased grass as he's running forward for a touchdown. I think Kerryon Johnson's looked really good. I think there were concerns about his knees, but he's looked pretty good. He's been a very good one-cut runner. Jordan Howard's had some decent moments. Kenny Gainwell's kind of disappeared a little bit. He did have that one catch from Flacco yesterday that was impressive, but I'm not seeing a lot of him. Maybe it's too quick for him. Maybe we see Kenny Gainwell inactive to start the season. He's definitely on the roster. And I think so. You've got those three guys locked in, Sanders, Scott, and Gainwell. I'm curious who wins the battle between Johnson and Howard, because I do think that that's for one spot. And then I think Huntley's going to try to force him to keep five. What's your take on the running back position?
Well, it looks like they're going to utilize these guys a lot. I mean, look how many times we saw the speed 21 personnel early on in camp. I mean, the two running backs and one tight end, and it looks effective. I mean, Sanders really has looked look like he's hit another gear this training camp so far. And one thing I really like that he's done so far, he's jawing back and forth with the defense. I mean, he looks like he's really getting into things and trying to build up that competition aspect. And I've liked what I've seen so far out of him. And he's it's expected how he's to be used more with in the pass and the run game, he could have a decent season. Scott's looked explosive at times as well too. Gainwell, I wonder if it's one of those things he's still processing that whole entire playbook, because we know he's faster than what he is, what he's been showing so far. And I wonder if he's still trying to, he's thinking his routes through, he's thinking things through and not letting his athleticism take over. I'm really getting a sense of that, but I think he stays on the roster. And Kerryon Johnson, I think Kerryon Johnson has the edge right now, just looking with Jordan Howard, because just on the fact of his pass catching abilities itself. I mean, there's been a couple of times seeing Howard juggle a couple balls, especially running those Texas route, like those little routes going toward the inside of the field. And Johnson's like caught it cleanly a lot more than Howard has. And that's going to be a really tough battle. I think that's going to be one of those battles that comes down to, I think, probably like the last couple hours before they announce the roster, because that's a lot. That's going to be a really tough decision, in my opinion. And Huntley, I think, for the life of me, I still don't know why the team didn't use him in more kick returns last year. He looks fast. He looks decisive when he's deciding which way he wants to run. And he's got that ability to just put one foot in the ground, cut up, and then just take off. And that's something essential that's in the kick return. And given that what they have right now, I know you have Boston Scott who returned kicks, and I'd try him more back there, because we know about his history back when he was in college. He did really well with it. So that's the way I think he sneaks on the roster, if they give him a chance for the kick return, to have five running backs. But he's a person who I would like to see more – like to see used more in this preseason, just to get a full idea of what he can do.
Let's kind of tie tight end and wide receiver up in a ball. Like, obviously Rager missed the first three practices. Quez Watkins, the first three practices. Devontae Smith has looked good up until getting banged up. But really, it's kind of been a mishmash. Like, nobody's been like a premier target at wide receiver. At tight end, though, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, you mentioned third string offense featuring a lot of Tyree Jackson, Caleb Wilson's getting in there. What do you like about the multiplicity of the passing targets, the fact that they're spreading around the ball?
I like it because it's going to force defenses to not key on one guy. I mean, Devonta Smith's going to be, when he's on the field, he's going to be, I think a lot of defenses are going to try to shade toward him, and as well as Dallas Goedert. But having a lot of options is just going to open things up for not only the pass game, but I think in the run game, because you're going to spread things out. I mean, I look at the way that the tight ends have been used so far, and the emphasis has been doing a throw into these guys. And if continuing to focus on targeting the middle of that field to open up it, to release some of that coverage for some of these outside guys. And I think that's going to be imperative. I mean, Goddard's looked all right so far early on in camp. I mean, it's been surprising that Zach Harris even showed up and is still on his team at this point, but I thought he's been all right. I mean, it looks like Jalen Hurts and him were still trying to get that chemistry going and try to get that connection right. I mean, there's one pass that he made that Hurts made to Ertz that went 35 yards. And you saw that because a lot of the defense started cheating up on these shorter routes. And then you saw the little pump and go to Ertz, and he was able to get open, and Hurts delivered a nice ball. So don't get me wrong, I'll put it this way. I don't like the fact that some of these guys are missing time because due to injuries and they have to stay off the field, because they're all still very young. Smith and Rager, they're still very young receivers who can use every single rep they possibly can. But it gives some of these guys that are lower on a depth chart more experience as well, and that's going to be beneficial for the long run, especially for those who remain on a team. But it's a lot of diversity in what the skill set these guys have, and can definitely benefit this offense.
So let's talk about the offensive line. Andre Dillard and Jordan Mailata are obviously battling a left tackle. You know, the majority of the offensive line was given the, given time off on Friday. Isaac Seumalo and Brendan Brooks have been sidelined with injuries. The focus is on the left tackle battle, just straight up. I'll add notes that Jack Driscoll's looked pretty good at right tackle. Nate Herbig looks very good after losing 30 pounds at left guard. Matt Pryor's been fine. Luke Jurigo, when given the opportunities, look relatively good as well. But I, our focus is on the left tackle battle. Right now, I think it's abundantly clear that Jordan Mailata is a step ahead of Andre Dillard. Andre Dillard has struggled against the likes of Derek Barnett and Josh Sweat. I do think he looks somewhat better than he did his rookie mini or his rookie training camp, but you know, at this point, if the competition isn't even, Mailata is ahead, if that makes sense. What's your take on the left tackle battle?
Yeah, I agree. And even though it's they don't have the pads on, just some of those run plays that you're looking at, it just seems like Mailata just has that edge when it comes to his the form before his form of blocking, when it comes to just that toughness, aggressiveness in opening some of these creases. I think Mailata has the edge. And Dillard, I wonder what's going through his mind. I know he made an emphasis of coming back in the right mindset, and it was like it's helped him out in a way, but physically, it just looks like Mailata is still just a better tackle. Who would have thought that a seventh round draft pick would be out playing Dillard, who they traded up to get? I mean, it's to me, Dillard's the second guy. There's no way. And then if that's the case, you could look at potentially moving on from him at this point. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him. I know he's coming back off that biceps injury, but he had a lot of time to recover from that. And it's Mailata's job to lose at this point.
Let's talk about the defensive line. You know, Josh Sweat has played very, very well. I think Barnett's having a pretty good camp. It's his first camp in a very long time where it feels like he's not dealing with an injury. Milton Williams is playing defensive end. I think Javon Hargrave has played relatively well. They're moving guys around. Teron Jackson's impressed me. Who stood out to you on the defensive line?
I think it's the way Sweat to me has been playing really well. He's been rushing the passer well, and he just looks like he's continuing to grow each year. And it's like he's added a new move to his a pass rush move to his arsenal. And I think Tracy Rocker's done a good job getting the most out of these defensive ends. And one thing I've seen, like, in brief parts, I've been looking at the defensive line, was the way that they've been moving between those three-four, and the 4-3, that they're using those multiple sets, and the interchangeability of these guys, especially when it comes to Milton Williams. I mean, this guy is good. Is good, and you see him moving. You see him moving back some of these offensive line, the interior offensive line, and the outside guy. I mean, they've been playing him in end tackle, so I like what I've seen out of him. And then yesterday, Jaquan Bailey with the strip sack on Nick Mullins. And I love the lines you put in your notes, like a kid who got caught stealing out of the cookie jar. I love that line overall, I think he's done all right. I think it's going to be tough for him, I think, to make the roster given the depth that this team has at the along the defensive line. But in the spurts I've seen, he's looked like he's been all right. He's got a good motor. He's got some good speed and some quickness to him as well. So he's another guy I thought has been playing well.
Full disclaimer, Chris really, really likes having high hopes for guys that have no business making the roster. It's one of his defining character traits. So linebacker, Alex Singleton's been on the COVID reserve list, has missed a whole week of practice. They're mixing and matching linebackers, which I really, really like. Davian Taylor was a first-team linebacker for the first three practices and suffered a quad injury. He's listed as day-to-day. TJ Edwards and Eric Wilson have been working with the first and second team. Sean Bradley's been working with the first and second team. It does kind of feel like they're trying to figure out what the best combination of nickel linebackers are going to be. I like that they're letting Eric Wilson work with the second team defense because it's allowing them to like move like Rashad Smith and Jacoby Stevens and all other guys next to him so they can get kind of a feel for him and the rest of the group can kind of get a feel for the first team defense. I think that's a really smart approach to the linebacker position. Where they stand right now, I think they'll keep six. My guess would be Eric Wilson, TJ Edwards, who had a phenomenal interception in 7-on-7s on Saturday on a ball from Jalen Hurts. Alex Singleton, those three will be your main starting linebackers. Davian Taylor will be the first guy off the bench. Sean Bradley will be the backup middle linebacker. And then I'm guessing that Jacoby Stevens beats out Rashad Smith for that sixth role that's basically going to be a special teamer. What's your take on the linebackers thus far?
Yeah, I know TJ Edwards is known as I think he's done all right so far. I mean, I was shocked. I mean, because when you look at his, everybody knows about his ability to stop the run. And when he was able to make that pick, I was like, okay, yeah, I didn't see that part of his game. So, but looking overall, it's a very athletic group. And I think one person I think that's really stood out to me, just looking at it briefly, has been Davion Taylor. I mean, it looks like he's come back from that injury a little bit and he's moving around all right. And he's starting to get a grasp of the position even more. And I'm really, really intrigued to see what he's going to do. And you're right. I agree. Cause Jacoby Stevens, I saw him in the 7-on-7. He's been very good in coverage. I mean, you know, he was a safety and that's given that's with that responsibilities of that position. You have to be good in coverage. So seeing what he's been able to do in that sort of hybrid role has been all right. And he's been making it tough when they were finally doing the one-on-ones. He was covering the receivers very, very well. So I think Patrick Johnson will be the odd man out.
So let's move on to the cornerback group. Steven Nelson was thrust immediately into the first team defense after signing right before training camp. Avante Maddox has looked relatively good in the slot back in his normal position, although he did get absolutely worked by Greg Ward on a one-on-one drill on Saturday. It happens. Darius Slay has looked very good. He's had some really good battles with Devontae Smith. And then from there, you're looking at guys like Zach McPherson, who's actually made a couple of different plays on the ball, had a near interception of Joe Flacco on Friday. I thought Craig James has had a relatively good start to camp. Michael Jacquet's been a bit up and down. He's been kind of the victim of some jump ball catches, which is weird because he's basically the biggest corner on the roster. I haven't really noticed Kayvon Seymour. I haven't really noticed, LeVert Hill or any of those guys. Kyle Taylor has been sidelined throughout the week with a lower body injury. Nate Maters has a hamstring injury and he's listed as week to week. Those two guys can absolutely not afford to miss practice and they've both missed four. We know that Nelson, who wants to be known as Steve Nelson, not Steven Nelson anymore, Darius Slay, Avante Maddox, and Zach McPherson are going to make the roster. Those are four corners. If there's a fifth guy, who is that guy to you right now?
I think it's Craig James. He's played well, in my opinion. I mean, he's gotten good position on guys. He's been physical at the point along the lines and getting his hands on these receivers, especially Saturday. So that was like, was really good. One guy I really, really wanted to see do well, especially a recent sign, Obi Melifonwu. Sorry, excuse me for mentioning, but big guy, but he hasn't really shown, he hasn't really shined so far in practice. I know he just got here, but I was thinking a guy like that, you know, with his size, given that some of these bigger receivers the Eagles are going to face this year, I thought he would really stand out, especially given his height, his overall size. The dude's big, but he hasn't really done anything. I mean, I know he's been out of football for a while, and I thought he would at least be a good addition, but he hasn't really done anything. But right now, Craig James has looked really well, and his special teams prowess is already good, and I think he's the fifth guy moving forward.
Safety. Okay, so Anthony Harris has been kind of up and down. I think he hasn't really been helped with the fact that it's mostly been red zone work and there hasn't been a lot of like ability to stop the run here. His strength is obviously pass coverage. He's been caught cheating a little bit against the run. Rodney McLeod is on the PUP list. So you're seeing a lot of Kayvon Wallace and Marcus Epps next to Harris. I think both of those guys have done a relatively good job based on expectations. I think Kayvon Wallace, if Rodney McLeod enters the season on the PUP list, I think Kayvon Wallace is clearly the other starting safety, mainly because he's got the ability to match up in the nickel coverage, in the slot. He can play free safety. He can definitely tackle as a strong safety. I think Marcus Epps is really just a single high guy. And it would be that third safety. I think both guys are obviously on the roster with Anthony Harris and Rodney McLeod. The big thing has been Andrew Adams, who was a first day free agent signing, supposed to be a special teams ace and maybe like a third or fourth safety. He's been on the COVID list all week. So it's allowed guys like Graylin Arnold and Elijah Riley to get a little bit more playing time. Elijah Riley's had a rough start. Saturday was not his best practice. Zach Ertz completely wrecked him on a double move wheel route to the sideline. Got open and then got yards after the catch. Graylin Arnold had a couple of pass breakups in recent days. If McLeod is not on the roster and they keep four safeties, I think it's Graylin Arnold's job at this point. What's your outlook on the safety group?
I've been pretty impressed by the way Arnold's played. I mean, he looks like the guy who's looking like he wants to remain in this league. I mean, he's had a couple pass breakups as well. He's like, he's reading receivers when they come out their break well, and he's closing in on the ball. So I think he's the winning guy. I mean, Riley, I had high hopes for. I really thought he would be somebody who could step in, not only in special teams, but also fill in the back end if there were injuries. And he's just been, I don't know what's going on with him. He just looks a little off when it comes there. But I mean, Harris has done all right. I think Harris is going to be fine on there. But Graylin Arnold, to me, just looking in, he's done well. Kayvon Wallace, I mean, how about his second year? He looks like he's already he's gotten some veteran tendencies to him, and he's looked all right when he's recognizing the run, stepping up and helping out in support as well, too. So I think I like what I've seen out of him as well, too. But overall, if it comes back to one of those last safety spots, I mean, Graylin Arnold's doing well. It, as of right now, it should go to him.
Specialist-wise, I think Aaron Cipas had the best punter press conference I've ever seen, which isn't saying much because punters really don't have press conferences. So far, so good from what we're hearing from the coaches and Jake Elliott. Jake Elliott had kind of a poor performance Saturday. He attempted 6 field goals, missed from 33 and 49, made the other 4. He went miss at 33, 4 straight makes, and then a miss at 49. My level of confidence in him is kind of middling. I do like how much accountability he takes for his misses and his mistakes, but he's got to be better this year. What's your overall confidence level on the punter and the kicker?
Well, I was surprised Aaron Cipas. I thought, to be honest, I wasn't happy. I was starting to scout, see who might be available on the in other areas. But I like the way he's gotten the hang time. His hang time has been decent in the spurts I've seen. And it was probably 4.3, 4-ish, somewhere around there. And it's got this weird spin on the ball when it's high in the arc, and it makes it tough for a punt returner. So I thought that's all right. And Elliot, I can't get this guy. The guy can make kicks from beyond 50 with ease, but then the closer it gets, he just, I don't know. And I really thought, I know specialists don't, that's all they do, especially when it comes to the field goal operation. And I thought it would take a little bit longer when it comes to Cipas being a holder, because Elliot got used to Cam Johnson for so long. And I don't know if it's one of those things where he's trying to get used to a new holder, but this is going back to the last year now, even when Johnson was here. So, and when it comes to Eagles, you don't know what they do now, because they're tied in financially to this guy for a while. He's just been, I'm going to say, he started out promising and it's been disappointing as of late. And I don't know what's going on, but he has to fix it quick.
So we didn't plan for this, but I want to wrap it up. These will be our final thoughts. Who was your MVP on offense and defense for the first week of camp?
Ooh. I'm going to go Miles Sanders. I'll go Miles Sanders off. I just think he's when he runs that, when they run that zone and he runs on toward the off tackle area, he's just looked on a stretch play. He just looks really good on that one. So I think he's my MVP on that side. I'll stick with Josh Sweat as the MVP on the defensive side. I'll give a 1A for offensive too. Tyree Jackson, I think he has Chris. The edge over Stoll. Chris. Yes, I'm going that way. I am going Chris. That way.
Oh God! All right.
Anyone? I like what I've seen.
All right, Chris.
Hi.
Oh man. All right. So offense. I'm actually going to go. This is going to surprise people, but I'm going to go Zach Ertz. Zach was given the day off on Friday. Spent the entire practice coaching up your guy Tyree Jackson, Caleb Wilson, and Dallas Goedert, falling kind of like miscues. He's also looked pretty good. He looks really athletic. He looks fast. I thought Saturday he was the shining star of practice. I think he's outplayed Dallas Goedert, honestly, in the early going. And so, look, for a guy who doesn't want to be here, he's chatting it up with Nick Sirianni every practice. He seems really engaged. I'm digging the Sting early 90s haircut. I think he's determined to play well, and if he's here, he's gonna be a factor. It'll be interesting to see what that factor is, but I thought he had a pretty good first week. And then I would say Darius Slay is the MVP of the defense. I think he's had some really good battles with Devontae Smith, Travis Fulgham, Jalen Reagor. What I like about him, and maybe this is a cop out, but he's coaching up Devontae Smith, and I think that that's going to add to his value as a player in helping Devontae Smith become a really good pro. And so I'm going to go with him, because I would have gone with Josh Sweat as well, but I'm going to go with Slay to kind of switch it up a little bit. Guys, remember to sign up for Eagles Extra. 2 weeks free. You'll get training camp for free. You'll get exclusive analysis from Chris and myself throughout practice before it hits the web. You'll get updates on injuries, breaking news, etc. We also do Q&As weekly. So a lot of fun we're having on Eagles Extra. You can sign up on nj.com/text. Make sure you sign up because we're having a lot of fun on the app. We're getting a lot of positive feedback. And it makes stuff easier. You get to avoid the social media clutter. Also, make sure to download and subscribe to the No Huddle Show podcast. That's the name of our podcast. Wherever you can download podcasts. And we will see you soon with some more training camp goodness next Friday.